In just a few moments, we'll prepare to take communion. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to take what's already happened in the service and connect it to what I hear God saying in His Word for this body of believers during this time. And so turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. We're in just a moment, beginning in verse 14. I'm going to share with you the beginning of a series that I will be entitling Accessing the Strength of God. I believe in this season and time, God wants us not only to understand His strength, but to be able to draw upon spiritual disciplines that can access His strength for our day-to-day living. And so for the next few weeks, I'll be teaching on the strength of God in a series again that I've entitled Accessing the Strength of God. I think it's pretty obvious that our lives require the strength of God. In fact, many of our lives depend upon the strength of God. Webster says this about strength. He says that strength is the quality, the state, or the property of being strong. He equates strength with the word, the subject, and the theme of power. See, I think there was Tim, the tool man, in God when he talked about himself, because I think he knows more power. So in the next few weeks, you're going to learn how to put your growl on. Any of you know what I'm talking about? No. Webster says that strength is the power to resist force. Now think about this definition. The power to resist force, the power to resist stress, and the power to resist wear and tear. Doesn't that sound like life? He says this about strength. He says it's the power to resist attack. He uses words like concentration, potency, intensity, firmness, and toughness to describe the word strength. He finishes by saying that strength means a source, or it points to a source of power or force. I think each of us can attest by the definition alone how much we need that ability and that power to resist force, stress, and the wear and tear that life sometimes puts on us. Now, how many of you, as you grew up, had some wonderful childhood memories? They weren't all bad. Not everything your parents did messed you up. I had some wonderful childhood memories, and going to church was one of them. My mom tried to take us every time the doors were open. And our church back then met both on Sunday morning and Sunday night. How many of you grew up in that kind of a church? That you went to church every time the doors were open, and that you had not only Sunday morning service, but you had Sunday night service. And that one of the great treats in life was something that happened during the time you were at church on Sunday night. And it was called The Wonderful World of Walt Disney. And every Sunday night they would show these wonderful movies. How many of you remember that? And on those occasions that my mom would let us stay home, we would watch The Wonderful World of Walt Disney. Now, I'm probably dating myself and telling a little bit on myself, but one of the wonderful stories I remember that they told and they showed in the form of a movie was called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. How many of you remember that? And the seven dwarfs were not the seven fruits of the Spirit, because there's nine. But I got this last week, and it's called A Bad Day. And it reminded me of my childhood memories. This person writes and says, I rear-ended a car this morning on the way to work. I tell you, I knew right then and there it was going to be a really, really bad day. The driver got out of the other car, and wouldn't you know it, he was a dwarf. He looked at me and he said, I am not happy. So I said then, well, which one are you? And that is how the fight got started. We have those days. Some days we're the driver, some days we're the dwarf. And there are moments in our lives where we get rear-ended by troubles and trials, obstacles and challenges. And we have to deal with not being happy. And it's then that we find that our weakness is many times exposed. And we're looking for that quality. We're looking for that property, that state of strength and power. We need that ability to resist wear and tear, force, and stress. We need that power to resist attack. We need that ability to concentrate. We need that ability to be intense and firm and tough. And we need that person or that source that we can go to when we are weak and find him to be strong. And it's here in the book of Exodus that Moses speaks of the strength of God. Exodus chapter 13 says in verse 14, "So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' that you will say to him, 'By the strength of the hand of God, we were brought up out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage.'" He's talking about people that were in bondage for over 400, and some scholars say over 430 years. This group of people that numbered around a million at this time had lived in bondage for 430 years. And that generations would come and they would ask how all of this happened. Where did this freedom come from? Where was this strength found? And so Moses looks at them. And he is teaching them that you will tell the generations to come that it came by the strength of the hand of God. God's hand was so strong. There was such force. There was such state. There was such power, such potency in his hand that he picked up a million people and he carried them out of bondage. He carried them out of slavery. He did that with one hand. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know something about God that invites that right hand of God into my life for those times that I need to be carried out of something. And I believe in the scripture we see Moses instructing not just those individuals, but those generations that would come. That God's desire was not just to be seen for this group of people, but for the generations to come. It's then that God's hand carries them in the wilderness. It's then that God brings them to a place where their enemies are behind them, the mountains are beside them, and an uncrossable Red Sea is before them. And God brings them with his hand to that place. And he teaches them that when there is no way out in the natural, God will always create a way out through the supernatural hand of his ability and his force. And it's there that God's hand is so mighty that he places his hand on Moses' rod and on his lungs. And he says to Moses, in front of this couple million people by now, counting kids and lambs and sheep and people who were late getting to church that Sunday, he lays his hands on that place and he causes a whole ocean to part. Amen. Now that's a strong hand.
Yes, it is.
And it tells us in scripture that this entire nation crosses the Red Sea and that the enemy comes with them, and that just when it looks like the enemy is going to defeat them and destroy them and carry them back to bondage, God takes his hands and he puts the waters together, and the very water that looked like it was going to destroy God's people was the very weapon that God used to destroy the enemies of God's people. Now that's a strong hand. That's a strong hand that you need and I need for our daily living. And so they're on the other side now. They've been delivered. They've seen the strength of God for themselves. And it's then that the women's ministries leader decides that we need to have a conference. And we need to have praise and worship. And so she throws this praise and worship gathering. And it says in Exodus chapter 15, beginning in the first verse, that in this church they let stuttering Moses sing. I like this. They said, "Moses, we want you to lead the singing." They said, "Moses, we want you to step into the position of praise and worship leader. Because you may not sound like much to us, but your praise sure sounds something and sounds like something to God."
Amen.
Then Moses sang. See, again, we see in Scripture what happens when we sing. And it says that he sang, and the children of Israel sang this song unto the Lord with him. And they spoke and said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My praise is the invitation for habitation. My Father's God. They're talking about, this is my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Verse 11 says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed our enemies. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Praise is one of the keys to accessing the strength of God. That your praise begins to connect your heart and your life with his hand. This morning, you had a connection. You didn't go to eHarmony, but you had a connection. You may have come into this service feeling single and abandoned, but your heart in your praise connected to his hand, and his hand then was released to redeem you from what you were in when you came in, to lead you in here, to leaving here having been brought out. You might have come bound by tribulation, but your praise that filled your heart moved his hand to move you out of tribulation into habitation. So you may have come in feeling empty-handed and alone, but you can walk out feeling and acting and living out a faith that is the friend of God. Doesn't that make you feel better? That's what happened today. The strength of God was released into your heart. And in days to come, you're going to see it in your hands. I want you just to connect to that right now. I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to just by faith begin to speak to things that be not as though they were. And begin to declare this tribulation I may have carried in has been exchanged. And in a time of celebration, I have been carried into his holy habitation. His strength carried me there. His strength guided me there. Claim that for yourself. And like Joshua heard God's word over his life that said, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Hear that for your life and begin to stir up the mature roots in your life and declare, I will be strong and courageous. Now let me hear your declaration. Whisper it at first. Declare over your life, I will be strong and courageous. Hear yourself declare, my heart has moved his hand. I've moved from tribulation into jubilation. And that's why I praise the Lord. For the weeping that I carried in, that has endured for the night, has now given way to the joy of my morning. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And that is why I can rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, I know I came in feeling the pressure and the weight and the stress and the wear and the tear of my tribulation. But my praise was an invitation that carried me into a season of celebration. And though I don't see it yet in those things seen, I see in the realm of those things unseen that he is the glory and he is the lifter of my head. And that by his stripes I am healed. And that by to the strength of God today, I have been carried out of every bondage and every burden and carried into the promises of God, which are yes.
Amen.
Let me hear your amen.
Amen.
Now the beauty of Christ walking this earth was that he gave us a picture of how much he loved us, that it was an unconditional love. And periodically he would sit down at the table and he would demonstrate his love. He would sit down at a table and over food, he would break bread. And in the brokenness of that bread, in the brokenness of that moment, he would reveal his love for their soul and his love for their lives. And he would teach them kingdom principles. Wasn't that awesome to know that when Christ was here on earth, he was touchable, he was accessible? That you could walk right up and sit right down and spend some time getting to know him more. And that's what we're going to practice right now. I've invited Pastor Clint to come and lead us in communion. And so as he comes, see that this is a time that in his presence, we as a church family practice gathering around the table with his spirit, with his presence, and with his provision. And there we learn more about his love for us and his love for our souls. Pastor Clint, would you come and lead us in communion?
Turn to your neighbor and say, we have in church. Praise God. Today, as our ushers are coming forward to prepare our elements and the praise team is getting ready and waiting, starts to play a little dinner music, we just want you to know that this day has been set aside as our communion day. Each first Sunday of the month, we here at Dominion Church practice this ordinance that it was given by Christ. I want to read you a scripture that comes from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. He's quoting Christ and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" I think there's two things that I would just like to bring your attention with communion. And as you receive the elements, just please hold on to those, because we're going to, in a moment, take those and receive those together. But number one, it's a reflective time. The Bible says that we are to look inward and to judge our own motives and our hearts. And so, as our praise team is about to sing, I pray that you would reflect on your own life. But even more than that, it's a time of remembrance. And this is the most awesome thing about communion, because in the remembering of the sacrifice of Christ, it produces the passion that we once had in the beginning moments of our salvation. It renews our faith. It restores who we are. There's something about the power of God in remembering that sacrifice, because above all, he gave everything. Above all, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords sent down his Son that we might have life and life everlasting. That we wouldn't have to go to battle, but he would go to battle for us. So Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray that you would come into this time and in our midst. Help us to reflect. Help us to remember above all.
Above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, took the form and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, lay behind the stone, you live to die. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall, and you thought of me above all.
Oh, you were
crucified, laid behind the stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
God, today, Lord, in this time that we have together, Father, we just above all think about you. God, we above all just put our hearts and turn our eyes and we turn our faith towards this moment. For here are your words. Jesus, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said this, "Take this, divide it among you, for I tell you I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take this piece of bread in your hand. And just for this moment, just break it. And let's pray. Father, you are the one that went to the cross, and because of you, we have healing. And God, complete from physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. For it says in your words, by the stripes on your back, we are healed. And Father, today, we do this in remembrance of you. Amen. You may take. It says, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Let's take our cups. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are so grateful for the blood that was poured out for us. God, that we might experience salvation. God, that we might experience a relationship with you. And Father, in this moment, more than just the relationship, God, I pray that this blood would cover our lives, that it would cover our families, God, that it would cover every situation and circumstance. And God, that it would give us the ability, Lord, in remembering the power to praise. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said amen and took.
We're privileged to have you here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Clint, for leading us in communion. In the next few weeks, we'll continue talking about accessing the strength of God. Today, two of those keys were lived out in your life. As you took time to praise and worship the Lord, you began to recognize, both in the environment of what happened today in the service, as well as what is written in Scripture, that praise connects God's hand to the issues that are in your heart. So today, even as you did that, it released the strength of God. And then the second thing is, as we sat at the table of communion, as we sat here and took bread together, as we sat here and together drank of the juice, we drank of the privileges of God. We accessed the strength of God. And again, God moved. His hand began to wipe and to wash away not just our sins, but the existence of our enemies and our situations that have come against the promises of God in our life. And so this is a series that you and I are going to experience together. We're going to see the strength of God's hand move on our behalf together. Some of us came in today feeling like we were in bondage, feeling as if we were living in slavery. Felt like these were the days of tribulation for our life. And yet in this time together, we've experienced the strength of God. And we hear His voice saying that though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. And while this day began in tribulation, it's not over yet. Maybe you came this morning and you came from the wrong side of the bed. Maybe you rolled out on the wrong side. Well, today I think you should hear the Lord say, go home, get back in your bed, and roll out the other side. Because there is another side of your bed. There's another side of your trial. There's another side of your tribulation. And that is jubilation. When God sets up residence in your heart. And so today you have received the strength of God. And so as you stand to your feet this morning, you have now the opportunity to carry the strength of God.